You're listening to the Fayetteville 411 podcast, produced by the City of Fayetteville, where you will get information about city government and the programs and services we provide. You'll get topics of interest and an inside look into the various departments that help keep your city moving. I'm John Salling.
And I'm Sherry Kropp, and thanks for joining us for the Fayetteville 411. We're excited today to have the new Fayetteville Police Chief, Roberto Bryan Jr., on the podcast with us today. Welcome, Chief.
Thank you. Thank you. Glad to be here.
We're very excited to have you on the podcast, to talk with you and learn a little bit more about you and get a little bit of insight about what you see coming forward for FAPD.
That is great. I'd love to share my vision and the questions that you may have. So.
Okay. Well, I know that you do have a wealth of experience. So we're going to start with that. Talk about what your background is. Are you a native to Fayetteville, or?
So I'm actually a native of the Republic of Panama. So my parents immigrated to the United States and my dad joined the Army. So that I became a military brat, and Fort Bragg was one of the posts that he was stationed at in 1979. So we came here in 79, and I was here all the way through. I graduated through high school. So I considered Fayetteville home only because the amount of time that we stayed here. I have a lot of roots here. I have a lot of friends here from elementary all the way to high school. So by far, I would consider this to be home for me.
Now, what high school did you graduate from?
I graduated from Pine Forest Senior High, the Trojans. Oh, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
Which is where I met my wife as well, too. So she's a Trojan as well.
Okay.
Yes. Awesome. Yes. Yes.
Love to see that kind of high school love continues.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So.
After high school?
So after high school, I attended East Carolina University. While at East Carolina, I was a criminal justice major, and I actually entered the reserves while I was there to help pay for college. And that's when I started the military career in terms of I was actually a medic. And so I was activated for Operation Desert Storm, Desert Shield, and, that was a really great experience for me as a college student, giving me that exposure as far as a conflict and understanding, what would happen in terms of, a war. And so that experience motivated me even more to finish my degree. Came back with my criminal justice degree, I finished. And then after that, I started my career with the Durham Police Department in 94. So, that was the start of my career, and what I've experienced in Durham. I had a great experience there. It was a very busy city, so we had a lot of exposure in terms of what we did every day on patrol. So eventually I wanted to become a federal agent, so I started applying. After about 2 years on the job, I started applying to federal agencies. I applied to FBI, DEA, and ATF, and throughout that course, I ended up getting hired with the Drug Enforcement Administration. So, and that was December of 97, I did 22 years with them.
Wow.
Goodness.
A lot of experience. And we were just talking earlier, you look too young to have that much experience behind you.
Well, I may look young, but I feel old.
Yeah.
Sure.
So. And then after the DEA, what did you do after that?
So, October of 2019, I retired from the Drug Enforcement Administration with the opportunity to start with the Fayetteville Police Department. Fayetteville, of course, was a no-brainer for us. I know I was at the 22-year mark, and I was 50 with the DEA, and I was eligible to retire. And my wife and I eventually wanted to come back home to North Carolina. And it was just a great fit at the time. So I applied and was offered the job as a major there with the Specialized Service Bureau. And I retired on October 31st. And I started, November 2nd or 3rd with the Fayetteville PD. So I had a weekend off before I started.
Nonstop.
So, and, definitely a lot has changed since I was a police officer in Durham from, in the early 90s to what I experienced seeing when I came on with, you know, the Fayetteville PD. So it was definitely an eye-opener.
Are you able to talk some about what you did with Specialized Services Bureau, what that is?
Yeah, so the Specialized Service Bureau, we are the ones that support the department. So we had numerous divisions, like our specialized, so the USAR, which was our search and rescue folks. We have our emergency response team. We have our neighborhood improvement team. So it was a lot of the specialized units, but also we had like fleet maintenance, and where we made sure, took care of vehicles that needed to be repaired or replaced and everything else. So a lot of the logistical. We also have the radios, so a lot of the, what we call the logistical part of the department. So that was a really good experience for me, because I've been out of that role quite some time since I've been out of the military. So it was a good reacclimation to that side of the house.
Sure. And from there to FSU?
Correct. I started with FSU in June of 2022, and as the chief of police there. And again, another great opportunity presented itself in terms of, you know, getting an opportunity to engage with the younger community there, you know, advising them on career opportunities. But also, you know, that community in itself, there's a lot of good things that are already going on at Fayetteville State with the chancellor there and all the buildings. So it was a really great time with, you know, what was all going on there. So it was an opportunity to be part of that movement in terms of all the positivity in the building and everything, that the direction that the university was going on. So I really enjoyed that time there. A lot of community engagement. I would tell you, by far, out of all the positions I've held, that provided me more opportunities to engage, you know, on a daily basis with, you know, students, faculty, and staff. And then when we have our special events, you know, with the visitors. So I really took that opportunity to kind of hone that skill set with you know, the community that we serve.
And then, of course, after FSU, the position for the police chief, there was an opening for that. What made you decide to apply for that position, and why did you want to become the police chief?
So it was one of these, it was kind of a bittersweet. I was really happy at Fayetteville State, and we were doing a lot of positive things and moving in the direction we needed to do. And you know, there was some discussion in terms of what I'd be able to do citywide. And so when I looked at that opportunity, it definitely made me think about more of an impact. And for me, you know, when I think about Fayetteville, this is where I grew up. I'm invested in this community, and if I can impact that community in the role as the chief of police, I would definitely like to do that.
How do you feel that the combination of experience that you've had from the DEA to municipal policing and campus policing, how do you feel that has prepared you for your position as the police chief?
I would say, you know, all the above has definitely prepared me more than abundantly in terms of what I need to do as the chief of police, you know, because, you know, you talk about my military police experience, but also my international experience, because I had more than 12 years of serving with the Drug Enforcement Administration in the State Department and the U.S. consulates in three different countries, or three different tours. So with that stated, it gave me that much more of a opportunity in terms of how to be a... Yeah, so the exposure as a diplomat with the host nation country, their government, their police officers, and also their community. So, you know, being in that particular position, you know, you never want to cause an international incident. So we honed our skills very much well in making sure that when, you know, we were out there dealing with our host nation counterparts and their citizens, that we did not shed any bad light upon the United States. So that skill set was very much a part that I would like and I continue to bring back to local law enforcement.
And I'm sure with your experience at FSU, that really helped you or honed in your skills with working with younger people and being able to identify what some of their issues are and being able to work and engage with them, right?
Yes, by far it's really, you know, I sat in on all the Student Government Association meetings, and, you know, it was on a weekly or biweekly basis that we would sit in, and you heard what their concerns were. And I would address it right there, and or we'd take notes and figure out what is it that we need to do to make, you know, an accommodation better for them, or let's consider changing, you know, a policy on how we deal with A, B, or C, you know, in order to make, you know, their lives easier in terms of campus. Now, at times there was a lot of issues regarding parking and not wanting to buy a parking permit, and, you know, but then I would have to explain to them, you know, what the purposes are, you know, those permits. And, but furthermore, you know, just to let them know that our role on campus is to, you know, ensure their safety and security. And, you know, that's all part of it, you know, being able to identify vehicles, you know, and all that. So I think initially it was a rough start in terms of having to explain to our young people a lot of things in terms of how and why we do things, but eventually they understood and they got it, and, you know, it really started to help me get their support in terms of some of the initiatives that we were also pushing forward.
And with all of the experience that you have, tell us about a memorable time in your career, or is there an experience that help change the way you approach situations?
Yeah, by far, I would say my experience in the Drug Enforcement Administration working internationally was one of the most memorable in terms of being able to impact the entry of illegal drugs into the United States. It was one of those roles where we had, you know, 75 to 80 metric tons of drugs that we were curbing every year from getting into the United States. Now, if that's what we were seizing, you know, there was always the argument, well, that's only 10% of actually what's coming in. But still, it felt like we had an impact on what we were doing. So I would say, you know, one of those experiences is being on top of an Ecuadorian cutter or ship, and, you know, being that liaison between the Ecuadorian government and the U.S. Coast Guard or the U.S. Navy when we actually collaborated regarding an interdiction of a load of cocaine that was, you know, on the Eastern Pacific Ocean of the, you know, and so that type of collaboration, you know, just showed how key the DEA agent is in the middle of a international collaboration such as that, you know? So those are the things that I take back and I remember. I was like, you know, so it was really one of those rewarding experiences that you really felt that you were making a significant impact.
And we're talking about these strong collaborations. How important is this collaboration and community partnerships in Fayetteville with some of the groups we're working with here?
Oh, it's critical to our success. Not only the success of the police department, but also our community. So, you know, one of the things I would definitely say is the relationships that I've already built at Fayetteville State with some of those already, those nonprofits. I'm going to be utilizing those relationships and those folks that I've already have a relationship with to help me citywide in terms of some of the initiatives that we want to be able to initiate here with the young folks, the community, you know, the underserved communities, and let them help me and the department to make sure that we work together. So it just starts with being out there. Like the National Night Out, that is an excellent opportunity that we had to engage with the community, where I was able to talk on a one-on-one basis with the citizens and ask them what their concerns are. But not only that, just kind of get a sense of where they are in terms of their satisfaction. Do they feel safe? Mm-hmm. Or what they feel that needs to be addressed? And so those opportunities gives us, you know, that firsthand feedback from the people that we serve. So for me, I just think that, you know, as long as we continue engaging with our community, but then also educate them, you know, I like to utilize that time as an opportunity to let them know, hey, you know, we're down 100 officers and we want you to help us recruit personnel for our department right here in Fayetteville, you know, and one of the events that I was at, I was speaking, and I had probably 50, 60 cards, business cards with it outlined what the starting pay for an officer and all the benefits. And so, you know, I handed all 50 of those out, and I encouraged everyone, hey, bring one person in to help us fill our gap, you know. So currently right now with us having, you know, the 68 officers down, and I think I just saw an email this morning, we're down to 55. You know, we want to be very aggressive in filling in these vacancies so that we can have enough officers to patrol our community.
And I know that is a top priority of the city council and city leadership right now is public safety. And so they're investing in those recruitment efforts.
Yes,
and
they
retention
are.
Retention efforts.
And definitely part of the retention effort would be the, you know, the newest implementation of the issue or for the compression, you know. So I know the city council just recently addressed that and provided some resources to help address that. So that is, you know, one step of many others that we need to continue to make it very attractive to stay here for, you know, for our personnel to stay here and not go somewhere else because they feel that they can make more money there. But one of the things too, I also engage with our citizens is it's not always about the money. You know, our personnel in the department, they want to feel appreciated. They want to feel like they're valued. And, you know, it takes our community to make our officers, our non-sworn personnel to feel that way. And, you know, so I always encourage them, hey, when you see an officer or any of our non-sworn personnel, let them know that you appreciate them because, you know, that goes a long way, you know.
It's a tough job.
Yes.
It's a tough job.
It goes a long way. And I think when our personnel, our employees understand that the community really cares and really appreciates the work that they're doing, I think that is volumes over, you know, a few thousand dollars.
But as far as your first 30 days, can you tell us some about them, how you feel, how it's been going, and kind of what you're looking forward to here?
Yes, it's been a lot of reacclimation back into the department. There's a lot of things that have changed, but some things are still remain the same. And just wanted to get an opportunity to speak to all the different divisions and get a briefing on, you know, currently we have a SWOT analysis that each department and unit is actually briefing me in terms of their strength, their weaknesses, opportunities, and threats that they may have. And so as I listen to these briefings, then I'm formulating my plan in terms of, you know, how we're going to proceed in terms of execution moving past our 90 days. You know, we want to address the violent crime, and, you know, that probably has the most impact. You see it on the news, you know, so those are the kind of initiatives that we want to have in terms of impacting that. Internally, the recruitment and retention is significant because that all also plays a part in how we're able to be effective and efficient as a police department, you know. And thirdly, I would definitely make sure is that we build that community relationship. You know, I want to make sure that our citizens feel very confident that with me as a chief of police, that we're going to continue that transparency, we're going to continue that collaboration, and make sure that they are involved in having a say in how to address some of the issues that they face in their communities.
And I think that's another reason why the community events and community engagement is so important, not just from you as the leader and the police chief, but officers too. Get to know the people in the neighborhoods where you work, right?
Yes.
In the beats that you're working in, and let those people get to know you and your face, and
yes,
you're human, you know, just like them. And I think it's those connections that help build those relationships.
Correct. And I think when people meet us at the human level, mm-hmm, it helps, you know, break those barriers of us having the gun and the badge. And, you know, I've would say, you know, I think we're starting that dialogue. Folks are starting to learn more about me and see how I am, my personality. And, you know, I like to have fun. I like to engage with folks. I'm one of those people that never meet a stranger. So I can have a conversation with anyone.
What are some of the most important lessons you've learned from your former commanders and chiefs of police?
I would say most of my experience would come from my time with the Drug Enforcement Administration and the military. But what I would say in terms of those that I looked up to in terms of those leadership positions, one of those things of being consistent in how you you know, treat people in terms of fairness and processes. You know, if you're fair, you hold folks accountable, but if they know it's across the board with everyone, you'll never have an issue as a leader. But the issue always comes at hand when you pick and choose how to enforce the rules or how you're going to discipline. It has to be consistent across the board. So by far, I would say that. And it's not even learning from those that actually exhibited those traits, but I also learned from those that did not. And I saw how it could impact morale and everything else in terms of that. So I think that is one of those key values that I've learned throughout my years to always understand to be consistent, be fair, and also just treating others like you would want to be treated. And if we just, it seems very simple. It seems very simple, but, you know, a lot of times it does not occur that way, you know. And, you know, I think once we adopt those principles and, you know, those qualities, I think it would be a whole lot easier to retain and keep people. And, you know, let them know that, you know, hey, they're appreciated and, you know, but you still have to be accountable to do your job.
Do you have any final words, or is there anything that you want to say to the public?
So
who is welcoming you in as
yes,
the new police chief?
I would say I have, you know, overwhelmingly have, you know, everyone that's been come up, that's been really cordial and really happy and, you know, just really positive, you know, and I appreciate that, and I love to turn that over to our personnel, our employees at the department, because I think all these, you know, we have to be positive. You know, if we have a community that's positive, our department that's positive, it just, I think overall, it just impacts our community overall. You know, I would say in terms of, you know, this first 90 days, once I ingest and have an opportunity to evaluate where we go from there, you know, I want the community to understand this is not going to be something that going to turn overnight. You know, it's going to take some time for us to get to where we want to get to as a department, as a community, but that we will be, you know, continuing engaging with our community and making adjustments. You know, there will be some initiatives that will be taking place, and, you know, we'll, you know, the community will see those new initiatives that maybe never taken place before. You know, we're going to be heavily into making a push towards technological advancements. So, you know, stand by for those things. But, you know, there's a lot of good things that's coming out there. So, you know, and I'm just looking forward to the community to kind of see these things happening as we you know, go over the next few years.
That's great. So we look forward to having you on in about another 90 days.
Yes.
So you can give us some updates.
All right. Okay. No, that's excellent.
Wonderful. It's been great having you as our guest.
Thank you for coming.
All right. Thank you for being. Thank you for the invitation. Thank you.
That's going to wrap it up for this episode of the Fayetteville 411. The Fayetteville 411 is one of several podcasts that the city produces for our podcast channel, Radio Fayetteville. Be sure to subscribe to Radio Fayetteville, available on most of your favorite podcast streaming platforms.
You can also listen to every podcast that Radio Fayetteville has to offer by downloading the Fay TV streaming app, available now on Roku, Apple TV, Android TV, and Amazon Fire TV. And you can view all of our content by visiting faytv.net. To get information about city services, go to our webpage at fayettevillenc.gov. Thanks for joining us.